We'd like to continue with our study of the leper, the law of the leper. You'll notice here now we have something new, all covered with leprosy. Let's read that verse in Leviticus 13, verse 12. You know, I can remember as a boy hearing Brother Willis describe graphically some of the awful details of what leprosy is like. And since some of you, or almost all of you, have never seen even a leper, I remember him describing about people that didn't have any noses. The leprosy had just eaten it away until it fell off. Limbs would fall off their arms as it progressed. You know, God, when he gave a plague that he wanted a point proven to man, God knows how to do it very well. And so it was an awful thing, leprosy, as it advanced. And it so aptly portrays what sin does. Sin is so awful. It's insidious, and it continues, it grows, it advances. And there's only one thing that'll stop sin. What is it?
Blood.
Well, what does blood signify? Death. That's the only thing that will stop sin. Death. And that's why the Lord Jesus died. And he rose again. And we'll notice that in the healing of the leper, the cleansing of the leper. Well, here in Leviticus 13, verse 12, it says, "And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean." Did I read this right? Why is the man that is all covered with leprosy, that's turned white, pronounced clean? Now, if you'll look on this number six, this slide up here, you have two lepers up there. If you look closely, this man over here on the left-hand side, he's just got a few little spots on his arms. There's one up there on his left arm, too. But if you look at this poor man over here, he really looks miserable, doesn't he? He's all, the leprosy has all the way from his head down to his feet. It's covered him. It's all over. But you notice there's no red sores. There's no raw flesh. There's no scabs, risings. It's all turned white again. How could and why would they pronounce this man clean? Whereas this man over here is just in the early stages, you might say. And if he looks, and the priest looked at him, he wouldn't be able to pronounce him clean. This must have seemed strange to the Israelites. And it's interesting in this lesson that God gave in the Old Testament about sin and about cleansing and healing of the body, that it doesn't tell us all the solutions and whys. We have to go to the New Testament and figure out how it is that the priest could pronounce this man clean, whereas the other man was still unclean. The verses that we began with yesterday, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, reduces mankind all down to one common denominator, sinners. But the difference is, some recognize it so, and others don't. This is the difference. God is so gracious and so good. And if a poor leper, just as a poor leper, would go and present himself to the priest and open up everything, not hide anything, and admit that he was totally ruined as far as his flesh was concerned, all covered all the way, not one part of his body was any good anymore, then God, in his grace, could find a way and did find a way to cleanse such a person. Let's notice a couple of verses in Isaiah 1 that I believe will give us some clues to this. The first chapter of Isaiah, verse 6, it says, "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Now this is a description of Israel in an unrepentant state. And when God looked down from heaven, and this is what he saw in them: no goodness and nowhere, not from the head to the foot. But just a little farther down, notice what is offered in this chapter. Verse 18. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Here was an offer even in the Old Testament to those that would recognize their lack and come to God for forgiveness in openness, hiding nothing. There was forgiveness. God was great. The basis of forgiveness hadn't really been laid even yet in Isaiah's time. Now it has been laid through the cross of Christ. And so we really have to go to the New Testament. We might just notice an example of this in the New Testament from the Lord in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. The two men that went up to the temple to pray, the one was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. And we know the story how the Pharisee prayed with himself and told God how good he was and what he hadn't done. Do you get the picture? The publican, on the contrast, wouldn't even look so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. I think that's why the artists depict this man here on the right. Look at him. His head's cast down. He's looking down. He's bowed. He's humbled. He's shamed by his condition. And that's the way the publican prayed. He recognized that he didn't even have a dignity to look up and address God. And he prayed with his head bowed. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now that's a man that's recognizing that he's all covered with leprosy. And this is what this lesson would teach us. We're all covered with sin. It's a hard thing for us to learn this lesson. It's probably one of the hardest things for us to learn. In John 6, when the Lord, and let's just turn to it, because I think it's, I want to get this instilled in our hearts. The Lord spoke of this in John 6. And in verse 63 it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Then down below it says, From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That was hard for them to accept. The flesh profiteth nothing. God wants honesty. He wants us to come before him as we are. And when we realize really what we are, we'll realize that there is, in my flesh dwelleth no good things. Now in the Old Testament, the difference between the new man and the old man and being born again wasn't totally clarified. New birth is taught in the Old Testament. But the full reality of deliverance from sin never could come out in the Old Testament. But we have beautiful pictures of it here in the leper. And it was necessary for one to be cleansed in this case to recognize that he was totally covered with leprosy. I want this truth to get a hold of your souls, young people, because it will bring much blessing to you. It's so easy to think that there is still some goodness in us. And we're not ready to admit that it's all bad as concerning the flesh. And so that's why this man on the right could be pronounced clean and the man on the left couldn't, because there was still something that hadn't been fully brought out and condemned. Let's turn over to Romans now for a verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I'm sorry, chapter 7. Thank you. Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Chapter 8. Verse 5, for they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is a definite conclusion that has come to. And God didn't come to this full conclusion until he had waited 4,000 years trying man. That's why previously to this we had the man shut up for the 7 days to give more time to let things develop themselves. And God was so patient. He waited a long time before he sent his son to give us the true basis of blessing. But when he did it fully and completely. And he made salvation and forgiveness and cleansing accessible to all. If God had made this so that if less than 25% of your body was covered with leprosy, you could be pronounced clean. And the rest were out. Who would have ever been saved? No. We have to come to the place, dear ones, where we recognize that in our flesh, naturally before God, it's all over. We're ruined. We're like a leper. And when we come to that place, God has a way to bring cleansing. And so it's wonderful that he has made it so. Now we'll go on to the next. Here we have the priest looking at this man that was on the right, that was all covered over. And now he's here down laying on the ground. And it's all exposed. The priest is looking at this man that had been covered totally with leprosy, but it's all turned white. It wasn't active. It was white. And so he's looking it over. It's a wonderful thing to get things out before the priest, before the Lord, our high priest. He looks, says, all things are naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, it's a serious thing to cover up sin in our life. It's a denial of what God is like. It's a denial of the forgiveness that he wants to give us. But God is too great to extend that forgiveness to those that aren't willing to admit it. No, it all has to be on the basis of Christ. Can God give forgiveness or to those that only recognize that they're half lost? No. It would not be of grace if it were so. That would give a place for works. That would give us a place to boast in something. And that's not the way salvation comes. We're all reduced down to the same common denominator. Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, we're all lost sinners. And that applies to us, even those who have been raised in Christian homes. Even though we've been protected outwardly from so many evils in the world, and we've been trained and preserved from so many corruptions and evils in the world, our heart is still the same. Sometimes we have to learn that the hard way. Sometimes God has to, as it were, let a plague of leprosy carry us a long ways down the road and get us pretty bad shape before we'll recognize that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You have the struggle of that man there in Romans 6:7, and he's trying to get rid of his sin, and he's struggling, and the harder he struggles, the more miserable he gets, because he's trying to do it himself. He's not relying on what God has done. Until he comes to the place that he, as it were, lays down like this man and says, God, you're going to have to take me like I am. I'm all bad. That's the place where the priest can pronounce him clean. It's wonderful. Only God could have made a plan like this. Okay, now we have, let's read the next few verses here for our next slide here. Back in Leviticus 13, verse 14, but when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean, and the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. So here we have this same man again, two of them, one with a little spot on his temple up here, a raw flesh. And you have here, again, looks like the same man all covered over. The leprosy has turned into raw flesh. It has become active again. You know, we never get rid of that old Adam nature that's in us, that we were born with. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have it with us. And we must keep it in the place of death. Because as soon as it begins to operate, what is it going to do? It's going to produce sin, just like leprosy. If it begin to operate again, it's going to open up the flesh and it's going to be exposed, raw flesh. We might just look at some verses in... let's go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is a list of what happens when we let the flesh act in us. And so this man on the right would describe a very miserable man. It may start with just a small place on the body, but if sin is not dealt with, that's what it will advance to. Now there's some more verses in chapter 2 of Galatians I'd like to read. Verse 18. Let's go back to the verse 16 and read it just a little bit more. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I believe these describe somewhat of what we have here. In the reappearance of the raw flesh after one had been pronounced clean. When we came to the Lord the first time and received forgiveness, we got forgiveness by admitting that we were totally ruined and bankrupt and sinners before God. But you know, afterwards, many times, that old ugly face of the flesh, it begins to operate, and this is what happens. And it's just like the leper that had been cleansed. The raw flesh is going to show. And so, it's an absolute rule. If you let the flesh operate, it's going to expose raw flesh. Sin is going to come out in our lives some way or other, and it's going to destroy us. It's going to ruin our testimony for a while. And so there is this constant struggle that we have with the flesh and recognizing it for what it really is and keeping it in the place of death, because it will ruin us. Well, may the Lord help us then to always get back to square one and recognize the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. But we don't learn that, young people. Speaking from experience, we have to learn this lesson over and over again. But God has made a way of provision for cleansing again. And so it isn't all over with again. If you've fallen back into sin after you've received forgiveness from God, there is a way back to God. There is a way of cleansing. And just like this leper, And he had to go through, he went through the same thing of going to the priest again and the priest looking on it and so on. And so there was a way of cleansing. How good our God is and how patient he is with us. I'd like to look at an example in Luke chapter 5 of a leper who came to the Lord in this way. It's wonderful that God has, in these pictures of the Old Testament of leprosy, he's given us many examples of lepers in the Bible and how they were cleansed or what happened to them and so on. And here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, I'd like to read, "And it came to pass when he," this is the Lord Jesus, "was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them." You know, I wondered how this man knew that the Lord could cleanse leprosy. I don't know whether he had read what we're reading in Leviticus or not. I don't know if he knew about this case where when a leper was totally covered with leprosy, then he could go to the priest or he could be taken to the priest. It's interesting. I want to make that distinction. I'm not sure if I made that. But when we have leprosy, we don't go on our own strength to the priest. Someone takes the leper to the priest. And the priest goes out of the city to meet that person. Which reminds us how the Lord Jesus, he went out of heaven and he came down to where we were to look us over and to extend to us cleansing. And so, you know, when the leper gets cleansed, then what can he boast in? Can he say, well, at least I made it back to where the priest was? No. You know, God levels everything down to zero. And Christ does everything in the picture of all of this. It's beautiful. So this man that was a leper, he comes to the Lord. And it says he was full of leprosy. All out before the Lord. And he says to the Lord, if thou wilt. He knew the Lord had the power, but he didn't know for sure if he would really want to or not. Oh, dear beloved, don't ever distrust the Lord. You may believe he's powerful, but realize that he's willing too. Oh, he loves us far more than we care about ourselves. And so the Lord cleansed him. It's interesting that it doesn't say cured, it just says cleansed, because I guess there's a distinction, and our brethren have made a point of that. And I think it's important. So he was cleansed. And then the Lord tells him to go offer the things that were ordered according to the Moses for his cleansing. Don't know whether the man did it or not. It sounds like he didn't by what happened because he liked to talk about it, apparently. At least everybody else took the news. I don't think that's the thing that God wants. Spread around a lot. You know, sometimes when souls get saved, much is made of them, or the way they got saved and all. But the way this was to be published, the way this was to be spread around was by going to the priest and offering the things for a cleansing according to as they were prescribed. And we're going to, Lord willing, get into that tomorrow, the cleansing of the leper. And I believe we'll see how it shows to us of that it's all of the work of Christ. His blood that was shed to put our sins away. There was a cost to this. And God doesn't give salvation cleansing cheaply. That is, it costs something. It's of great worth. It's of great value. And this is the thing that's to be emphasized. Not the experiences necessarily that we had and how awful the predicament was that we got into when we were in our sins and so on. Sometimes we tend to like to make a lot about this part of a soul when he gets saved and talk about how bad he was and how bad he felt and what experiences he had and so on. Well, there is much to rejoice in when a soul gets saved. It says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And there is cause of great joy. But what is it that God wants? He wants that joy shared together with himself. Not out in the level of the world. Not on the level that they would make it. Not what the newspaper would write up about it and what they could make people enjoy about this great act, miracle that takes place. And so our brother spoke to us, referred at least to the prodigal son that returned, you know. And it says there was joy in heaven when the sheep went astray and was found. But where was the joy when the son went astray? It was in the Father's house. And that's where the praise is supposed to go. In the Father's house. The leper cleansed in God's presence, praising God. And we'll notice at the end, when this is all done, in the final stages here of the cleansing, you have this poor leper that is cleansed. And he's offering up a burnt offering to God, which is Christ and all that he is to God the Father. And this poor old leper is giving God this sacrifice of a burnt offering. And it's a sweet savor to God. And there's fellowship together. A poor lost leper, a poor ruined leper that's been cleansed is there with the priest offering up something to God himself. And this is the end that's in view. And this is why all these provisions are made here. Because God isn't satisfied just to get the horrible sins put away. That's a great thing. He isn't just occupied with getting us out of hell. And that's a great thing. But he wants to have us together in fellowship with him. Just like a father's heart would long over a lost son that's out in the world and degradation and hasn't come to the point where he realizes that he's lost. He thinks there's still some good out there that he can enjoy in his life. And so he goes for it. Until he finds the reality of what the world is like. And he repents. Now, we'll go on in our thing here. Now, down through the rest of the chapter in Leviticus 13, we have some other ways that leprosy will manifest itself. And I'm not going to dwell a lot on this part, but we'll briefly mention a few things about it. In Leviticus 13, beginning with the 18th verse, you have a leprosy that appears in a boil. The 24th verse, you have leprosy that shows itself in a hot burning, and so forth. You have leprosy in the head and the beard. And I think these are special cases of how leprosy could manifest itself. You know, sometimes we are taught that man does have a certain amount of goodness in him, but it just needs a certain amount of culture or environment to make this good in our hearts develop itself, and then the goodness that's in the human being will reproduce before God. But what we find here in these special cases is that, you know, when you have a burn or you have a boil, I believe they would speak to us of difficult trials and difficulties. And you know, God knows how to allow the enemy to bring certain difficulties in our life that produce or make display the evil that is in our heart, that perhaps has been kept in from manifesting itself because of the things that the Christians that we're around. Maybe it's because we think the brethren will frown on us certain things, and so we don't do them for that reason. But we have that evil intent in our heart. And then when we get out in the world and we get put in a place of affliction, when a boil comes or when a burning comes, then we're all caught off guard and the flesh starts manifesting itself. I know a case of a young lady, and her father passed away, and she got so upset about this, and then she just went off totally into sin, and I believe she was a dear sister, but when this affliction came along, the leprosy made itself known. The sin that was in her heart started coming out. And don't ever say, I'll never do such and such a thing, because we don't know our own heart. And to say that really supposes that there is some goodness in us and that we're not totally corrupt. Read the book of Job and see how that God allowed him to be tested. And he had boils. And when he got into that situation, he got caught off guard and his tongue slipped. And he said things that he wouldn't have said if he hadn't have been in that trial. And that's what happens to us. And God allows trials because he wants to get out in the open things that are hid there. And so he'll let a boil come along in our life, or a burning, or an affliction, so that the thing can get out in the open, so it can be cleansed. Those verses in John, 1 John chapter 1, I think we ought to read those, because I think it connects beautifully with with our subject. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're in the light, beloved. The light shining. Since Christ has come, the full light of God shines on us. That's where we walk. And we can't cover things up. God knows how to get it out in the open, and he will. He's faithful. And that's why he allows Christians to be tested. Because he sees something in them that needs to get out into the open. And that's the way it was with Job. And so it was a pretty hard lesson, and it took Job a long time to get down to where he said, I utterly abhor myself, am I quoting this right, and repent in dust and ashes. He came to that place. And he recognized it. It took a boil to do that, but it did bring it out. And so you have the different special kinds of ways that leprosy could come in here in the person. Now we have the leprosy of the head, and I'd like to speak just a little bit of that, or rather, leprosy in the bald head. That's verse 44 of Leviticus 13. We'll read it. We'll read verses 42, 3, and 4. And if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be red, white, reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, it is leprosy. As the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. This was a most serious kind of leprosy, the most serious of all, in the head. I'd just like to make a comment or two about it, what this speaks of. Previous to this, it spoke about the bald, when the hair falls out, and I guess it's applicable that I speak about this part as a bald person, that it wasn't uncleanness, that it wasn't leprosy just to be bald. And I believe that would speak of infirmity. And there is a difference between infirmity and sin. Infirmity is weakness. And we have infirmities. Maybe we're sick. Or maybe we're weak. The body's not functioning. And we're tired. And we can't do certain things. That's an infirmity. But if we let that get the best of us, it can become a sin. If I'm tired and then I become lazy because of it, then it's sin. And so there is a difference between an infirmity and a sin. But here we have leprosy in the bald forehead. Looks pretty awful up there, doesn't it? You know, when things touch us in our head, on our face, it's serious, naturally speaking. But this speaks of the mind. There is such a thing as sin in the mind. And I believe it's the worst kind of sin. Let's read some verses in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, have nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Here we have the mind of man in activity, and it's dangerous, it's evil, it's sin. Just like leprosy in the bald forehead. I'll just mention this as a suggestion, a distinction to make between leprosy in the beard or leprosy in the hair under the head. You remember, if we go back to the two things that God gave to detect leprosy, the first one was the white hair growing out of the leprous spot. The second one was if the skin be deeper in that, at that point, there was something eating it, destroying it from underneath. But when you have a bald forehead, one of the witnesses to whether it is leprous or not is absent, because there's no hair there anyway, nothing to grow. There's only one thing to use to test to see whether it's evil or not, and I believe that often happens when there's sin in our minds. It's hard to detect. There have been arguments. When one of the early brethren came out with blasphemous doctrine concerning the person of Christ, there was the mind at work and arguments were made, and it was difficult to put down. Leprosy of the head. It's serious. And so that's why, in this case, No further investigations were made when they found just the one evidence of it there. Utterly unclean. And this person had to go out and to cry, utterly unclean. I think we have a slide of that. I guess that must be some kind of Chinese language he's speaking there. But you notice how he's got his hand over his mouth there, and he's covering his mouth. If there is leprosy in my mind, everything that my mouth says is going to be tainted with evil. If the mind is corrupt, everything that comes out in the rest of the actions of the body is going to be bad too. It's going to be corrupt. And so that's why it's so serious. He puts his hand over his mouth and he just has to say unclean, unclean. Well, may God preserve us from that. You know, I wanted to dwell on this a little bit because, you know, we're living in a well-educated time. You know, I notice this is a distinction. This is an observation I'm just going to make for you, kind of as a guard to keep in mind. Here in this country and in other countries where education has advanced and where we have a wonderful education, and I'm not speaking against education, I think it's wonderful. The mind is a wonderful thing to have to use for the Lord. The Apostle Paul had a brilliant mind. He was very useful and God used him. He was a unique vessel in that way. But he kept his mind in submission. He's the one that wrote those verses in Colossians to warn us about it. But I notice that when you get together, that you talk about making decisions, that here where we've been encouraged to use our minds a lot, that we tend to reason things out. And when you go to a country where they haven't had this experience and they've never taken college algebra or even an advanced form of English or whatever language they study, and they don't know what the difference between verbs and nouns are and so on, they don't tend to trust in their minds very much. They pray a lot. In fact, the prayer meeting is the best attended meeting in a lot of places like that where they don't have the education. They don't have their mind hasn't been taught and they know they can't trust it. But we who have been taught and have learned to develop our mind, which is good, be careful. We can't trust it. And especially in the spiritual things, if we start reasoning with our minds, it can lead us astray, and it's a bad kind of evil when it does. Well, our time is up, and I believe that carries us to as far as we wanted this morning. And Lord willing, we will continue with the cleansing. And that's no doubt the happier part. A wonderful, wonderful thing of how the Lord cleanses the leper. So let's just close with prayer.